To Sportsnet today with Logan Gordon on the home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Our two of Sportsnet today continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Thanks for tuning in. It's Logan Gordon along with you. Our producers slash ops today are Taylor and Cameron. Taylor, you were at the Eric Francis Pizza Pig Out last night, were you not?
I was, yes.
And how many pieces of pizza did you consume?
I think about two.
Wow, two. I thought there was like 40 different pizzas there.
Well, we were here producing for Flames Talk.
Yes.
So we didn't get there until like 6:45.
Okay.
And everything was kind of gone by then.
So you picked up a couple scraps and... How was the pizza, though? Was good?
It was good, but it was cold.
Wow. Well, get there on time. Tell Pat to get out of there quicker and get you guys to the Pizza Pig Out on time next year.
Sorry, you got to cut your show off an hour early.
Yeah, too bad. Pat, there's pizza there. Pat's not going to eat any pizza. He doesn't do carbs.
He's got to get his soul cycle classes in.
Exactly. There's no chance that Pat will be at the Pizza Pig Out to no doubt help our friends. Like Eric Francis and Kid Sport and everything, and Pat's a social butterfly, so he'll be out there, you know, talking with everybody. But there's no chance that Steinberg's actually eating the pizza, so
that's
you guys need to get there.
All of us.
Yeah, he could have saved some pizza for the rest of you guys.
Just keep it warm.
I'm disappointed in Pat. I'm glad you had a good time though. It was fun. It looked like it was a great event.
Yeah, met a lot of people. Schmoozed.
You schmoozed, did you?
Schmoozed. Yes.
Oh, got the black book out. You were getting guests and getting your name out there.
I think we just talked to a bunch of Sportsnet people.
Yeah, that's what I was mainly going for. Was when I came in today, and I was curious who you guys would have mingled with. And Cam's response to me was, "I met the morning show." That's the kind of teamwork that we have here at Sportsnet 960.
They are
in too early for us. This is actually going to be a bit of a morning show power hour, because we go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline right now and, welcome in one of the voices of the morning show. It is George Russick, who was at the Pizza Pig Out last night. George, how are you, pal?
No, I'm good. Wait, what do you mean the morning show power hour?
I got Maddie coming up at 3:30.
Oh boy. If I would have known that, I would have declined your invitation to come on.
That's
I'm
fair.
Just kidding.
That's fair. I can understand that.
Totally fine. What's going on, pal?
Not much,
buddy. Pizza Pig Out was great last night. Pizza Pig Out was great last night.
Yeah, it's a Calgary staple. I know Francis has said it's branched out a bit to a couple different cities. I don't know if you guys had anything similar to that when you were in Toronto or not.
Well, no, it wasn't, and we don't. And it was great last night. And kudos to Eric and his team. We do a great job of putting that event together. Run very, very well. And raised a ton of money, and I ended up leaving with Eric at the end of the night.
Oh, really?
It was a late night last night, yeah. We tickled the felt a little bit, played some blackjack at the end of the night.
Wow.
Got out of there at like 1, and then rolled out of bed at like 4:30 for the morning show.
Perfect.
My evening.
Perfect timing, eh?
Oh, yeah. And then you texted me to jump on today. I didn't answer until... I don't know, like 20 minutes ago, because I crushed like a 4.5 hour nap, like a champion.
How's it been on the morning side of things? You've been in Calgary for a little bit now. How's it been on the big show with Russick and Rose?
No, it's good. It's been a lot of fun. All the guys on the show putting in a lot of work, so it's been a ton of fun. And morning radio is always fun. You get there, you talk about some stupid stuff, cover the Flames, you look around sports. It's been really good. And the people of Calgary have been really good. The listeners have been awesome. Really weighing in on a lot of our stuff. And we've had some really good guests. So I think through 4 weeks, I can't believe it's already been 4 weeks. Things are going great, I think.
What's something that you've noticed about Calgary sports fans that you didn't expect? I think one of them that I've caught on a lot from listening to you guys on podcast has been the weird obsession of you trying to get listeners to tell you where they're texting from and their eternal resistance to that. Outside of that, has there been anything that you've noticed?
It's funny how, there's a couple of people like, we don't do that here in Calgary, and they use that voice. But it's funny how people resist that, and then when we give tickets away, they have no problem putting their name and location. So that's kind of funny how it just turns really quickly on a dime. Oh, wait, I can win tickets? Yeah, I'll tell you where. And I don't understand why the resistance. It just makes no sense. We just want to know who you are and literally where you're listening. Like, I don't understand why that's an issue. Like, it's good. It's fun. And we love the interaction we have with our listeners. It's been great. The one thing I've noticed about people in Calgary, and this is a good thing, too, very territorial. Very protective about their city, love their city, love their hockey team. And I knew that the fan base was super passionate here before I got here and I accepted the gig. But very territorial, which is good. I like that. I like the fact that we had stupid facts about Edmonton today and people were just texting and ripping on Edmonton all day. So that was a lot of fun. But people in Calgary are very territorial and they're really proud from where they're from. And they're super friendly. Even last night, meeting some listeners, everyone is just super nice and super accommodating here in the city.
That's awesome, man. Glad to hear that it's been going well for you guys. I tried to tune in on podcast whenever I can. And yeah, I got a total kick out of that from you guys in the text line going back and forth on the locale thing. I think it's been hilarious. Wanted to ask you a couple of sports questions while I had you. And I guess first one is, this would be your first year, I'd say, probably fair to say, you know, watching the Flames on a more consistent basis. What have you made of the group so far this season, and what's you know, stood out to you about Daryl Sutter's crew?
Yeah, I know. I knew the team was deep coming here. I just didn't realize it was this deep, right? Because they signed Nazem Kadri to be the second line center behind Lindholm, and he's been playing at a number one center clip. He's been fantastic. And when you watch those games against teams like the Avalanche and the Oilers and even the Penguins earlier this week, Calgary's depth helps them win a lot of hockey games and really turns the tide in a lot of these games. And I know Daryl Sutter preaches forecheck, the relentless forecheck of this team, because of the bottom six they can throw at you. It's a lot for teams to handle. And I know in a salary cap, where a lot of these teams are very top-heavy, and that's just the reality of the situation. But Calgary's depth is going to serve them really well here this entire season, as long as they can remain healthy, because it's a problem for other teams. The Penguins had no answer for Calgary's third and fourth line this past week, and I said it on the air this week, watching Michael Backlund be the third-line center of this team, I just don't know if there's a better third-line center in the NHL right now.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that a lot of people key in on when they, you know, either they watch a couple games of the Flames or, you know, they like are new to the market and sort of watch a little bit more. It's curious, you know, talking like our guy Julian McKenzie. I know you guys have talked to him a bunch and sort of getting the feel for him watching the team too. Backlund's one of those guys that we've talked about here in Calgary for so long as, if he was only slotted as the three, he'd be your perfect three. Asking him to be a two might just be a little bit too much for him, given maybe, you know, some of the struggles that he has occasionally offensively. But if this guy's your three, you're so happy with how you slot down the middle, it's not even funny.
Well, when Kadri was still with the Leafs, he was the best third line center in the NHL when they signed John Tavares. And then his play has just improved year in, year out. Watching Nazem Kadri as many times as I have, and maturity has been an issue for him, especially playing in Toronto. And I've said this a few times on the air already, Logan. Nazem Kadri got traded from the Toronto Maple Leafs because he loved to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs too much. He lost his head. He lost his cool. Mike Babcock, Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas, they could not take another year, another playoff run of Nazem Kadri. Get suspended. And obviously, we know the shenanigans that happened surrounding him last playoffs with Jordan Binnington, but the guy will do whatever it takes to win hockey games. And when you have him like as a number two center, and I don't even know if he's a two, he's like a 1B center the way he's playing right now for the Calgary Flames. So back to my original point of what you were talking about, when you have a guy like Michael Backlund, such an experienced centerman, and you're right, he's in the perfect role on this team. And that line's a problem. for some teams. And you look at some recent Stanley Cup champions, namely the Lightning, when Blake Coleman was on that team, that third line was the key to their championship. When the Pittsburgh Penguins won their back-to-back, when Phil Kessel was on that third line scoring a ton of goals, that was the key to their championship. If you have a really good third line that's a problem for teams, that bodes well in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And in Calgary right here, they absolutely have that.
How have you enjoyed getting to hear Daryl Sutter on a more regular basis? That's always a curious one because as somebody that's in the post game with Daryl, I know that it can be a 30-second experiment where you try not to get run over and become a gif or a meme on social media. And I'm curious how you've taken in the coach and his quick media avails here in Calgary.
Well, I just kind of would put myself in Pat Steinberg's situation. Because usually when a coach speaks, you know, you get maybe 2-3 minutes. Maybe he can quickly run to the washroom for the broadcast or maybe go grab a quick snack, maybe a drink while he listens to the coach's post-game presser. That's not the case here in Calgary because you're right. Sometimes it's very abrupt. He's very curt. It's 30 seconds. He's done. He says what he wants to say, and he just moves on to the next thing. But, yeah, it's very interesting. But some of the sound bites are awesome. Just how, like, W's. I want W's. That's it. He's such a solid, rock-solid coach. And when you think of Daryl Sutter, and I had this conversation today with the Hitman, Brett the Hitman Hart was on the show. Daryl Sutter comes across as an old-school, kind of hard-ass kind of coach. But the guy, he's adapted to today's game, how to coach today's player, and move with the times. You see a lot of those hard-nosed coaches who just aren't in the league anymore. Right. And look at a guy like Mike Babcock continues to trend on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Mike Babcock's one of those taskmasters who it's his way or the highway. Well, that doesn't really work in today's game. I know you can be, you know, tough on your players and earn their respect. And I'm sure Daryl is that. But Daryl's also adapted to today's game and how to deal with today's player. And I think that's what makes him so special.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I was producing the night that with Pat, the night that the firing happened, that they decided to change things over from Jeff Ward to Daryl Sutter, and that was the biggest sentiment was, okay, it's not 2003 anymore. You know, Daryl's a bit out of this. Even his time in L.A. came to an end. This is an old guy that's past his prime. And I think people in Calgary have pretty quickly realized that's far from the case, and there's a reason Daryl Sutter has, you know, racked up the NHL wins and the games coached list that he has because the guy really does get it, George. And it was interesting, you know, to watch that progression come back into it. Cause I think you're 100% right. This is a guy that clearly has adapted to the time. Some of the things that Daryl does will always be what Daryl does. And you won't change that. That's just who he is, but he's clearly embraced what's, you know, changed over the NHL in the 30 years he's coached.
Well, even yesterday, right, during practice, people tweeting out at the practice that they've never seen the amount of skating that this team's had to do. And you're off to a 5-1 start, and Daryl skates them a ton in practice here and a very long practice. And then this team is so serious about winning. They're so committed to doing the right things and playing the right way. A lot of players even stayed after to put in extra work because of the amount of days off they're getting here between games, between the Penguins and, of course, the Oilers coming to town here tomorrow night. It just goes to show what kind of culture that guy is running in that dressing room with the Calgary Flames. It is about winning first and foremost, but the guys are willing to put the work in. And obviously we all know that the famous quote when he first got here was, the team's out of shape, which is so jarring to hear from an NHL coach talking about NHL players. But that's what makes Daryl Sutter so awesome is that he's so blatantly honest, and that's great. I think we all need people like Daryl Sutter in our lives just to tell us the truth and really not sugarcoat too anything.
Yeah, it'd be hard for some of us to handle. Especially in radio, we're such sensitive animals as it is. But, yeah, it's funny that you say that. I'm curious, too, before I let you go here, George, how excited are you for tomorrow night at the Saddle Dome, Battle of Alberta Round 2? I hear by... You mentioned the text line and going through some of the clear hatred that we have for Edmonton in this city that you're getting a pretty good feel for what the rivalry is like between these two teams.
Oh, absolutely. And it should be a beauty of a game. I think I'm going to make my way down to the Dome tomorrow night to check out the game. And I just want to feel the atmosphere in that building. A Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, McDavid and the Oilers here to play the Flames. And it's such a travesty that these two teams are only meeting three times in the regular season. It's this one and then late December and then shut it down until potentially in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But you can just tell, back to my original point about being so territorial and passionate, the people of Calgary hate to lose to the Oilers. They do not want to lose to the Oilers in any way, shape, or form. And let me turn it around on you real quick, because I asked Maddie this in the morning show. If the Oilers and Flames play in the Stanley Cup playoffs again, do you want another piece of the Oilers, or you'd much rather just avoid them so you don't suffer the mental heartache, the anguish, the emotional anguish, the heartbreak of losing to the Edmonton Oilers in the playoffs?
See, I'm like Maddie. I'm born and raised in Calgary. I don't know what Maddie said to this one, but I honestly, I think I want another piece of the Oilers, especially given the start.
He said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
He said the exact same thing. Yeah. He wants another piece of the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, especially after they had their summer, and, you know, it was great, and, hey, we were in the Western Final, and you guys weren't, and, yeah, I know you didn't win any games against Colorado, but at least we were there. I think Flames fans and I think the city in general would love another chance to turn that around, especially because I think right now, at least, I'm sure you'd agree, the sentiment is that they're more well-equipped to deal with the Oilers in a playoff series than they were last year.
Knowing and how many games I've watched of Jack Campbell, if I'm a Calgary Flames fan, I'm excited at the prospect of facing that guy in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Great guy, no question, one of the nicest guys in all the NHL, but he's even riding the struggle bus right now early on in the season, and he has the propensity of letting in a softie in the playoffs, especially when things get really, really tight. I know they think they've solved their goaltending issue, but if I'm a Calgary Flames fan and potentially you're staring at a series against the Oilers with Jack Campbell and net, I like my chances. Obviously, McDavid and Draisaitl are the two best players in the series, and you have to ultimately try to shut them down or at least contain them a little bit. But facing Jack Campbell in a playoff series, yeah, yes, please, sign me up if I'm a Calgary Flames fan.
Thanks for the time, George. Really do appreciate you hopping on, man. I was curious to check in with you and see how things were going for you. Glad you had a great time at the Pizza Pig out, and I will definitely make sure that the next time I send Alex a trade request, I'll send it through his agent first for you, if that's all right.
Yeah, do you feel a little dirty after Edwards Hilaire lost his job and Darren Waller can't stay healthy?
I feel a little bit guilty about the Waller getting hurt part, but the rest of it I'm more than okay with.
Okay, all right. And P.S., just send Maddie my love.
Yeah, okay? Will do. Appreciate it, Georgie.
All right.
Take care, pal. Thanks. George Russick from The Morning Show. The Big Show in the Morning with Russick and Rose every single day, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. here on Sportsnet 960 or wherever you get your podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, etc. George and Maddie doing great things in the morning. Highly encourage you to check it out. They had Pat Steinberg on the show this morning. Brett the Hitman Hart, who was at the Saddle Dome the other night with us, checking in on the Flames game. He was on the show with the guys, so go download The Big Show with Russick and Rose wherever you get your podcast. And yeah, I thought it was curious to see how George was doing here in Calgary a couple weeks in since the announcement that he was hooking up in the mornings with Maddie and starting their show, how quickly he's come to Calgary. I always thought that was an interesting one. If you haven't heard and you were kind of curious about some of the things I was mentioning there with him, one of the big things that George and the guys out in Toronto do or used to do was they're big on, I think they still do it, to be honest. I don't know if they do anymore. I haven't listened to 590 as much lately, but their big thing was when they integrate fans in the show, the text line, like we have here in Calgary, 960-960, they always would like you to text in and say, hey, where are you texting from? And I think that's a bigger thing in like Toronto, where you've got the GTA and you're coming at it from a bunch of different places. Whereas I think, you know, even if you're in the deep south of Calgary or you're in the northwest of Calgary, you're still just Calgary. So you don't really feel the need to text in as much and say, oh, I'm texting in from Mahogany or Mackenzietown or wherever. But George has fought the good fight going back and forth with the text line, trying to integrate. He's trying to do it for you, the fan, the listener. He's trying to bring you into the show so that when Mike texts in or anybody else texts in, that, you know, you can associate, oh, that's Mike from Woodbine. That's who Mike is. That's not just generic Mike. And I know we've got a couple of listeners that do that. I know Rob, who listens out in Saskatchewan, Warman, I think he always puts his his address in there. Maddie and Cochran's always good for that. But I had to bug George about that because I know he was getting pretty heated on the morning show a couple of days ago about the pushback that he got from many when it came to including their location in the text. Don't worry, it's not about George and Matt finding you. They're not going down to find you. They want to have fun with you. They want to enjoy you here at Sportsnet 960. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to them, I highly, highly recommend. And as Kelly and Chaparral text in, it also helps George learn the city. That's 100%. We're so happy that George is here with us at Sportsnet. And the guy is absolutely doing his best to learn the city. Like, that's what I've been so impressed with George about this whole thing is, yes, he's not a born and raised Calgarian like some of us here on the station, but he wants to fit into that mold and he wants to learn about the city, and that's part of it as much as anybody. So really enjoyed that chat with George. We'll check in with him every couple weeks, see how things are going on the morning show with him and Maddie. Speaking of Maddie, yes, the morning show Power Hour in the afternoon continues next. Won't be chatting Flames, but we'll continue our regular series of chats that we have with Matt during the week. Some more Stampeders talk up next. Their final regular season game at home is tomorrow night. They take on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We'll chat with Matty next. He's got a live edition of the Stamps Report coming up next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on the home of the Flames. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Maybe it's just the morning crew that doesn't like texting in where they're texting from. As soon as I had that conversation with George last segment, a bunch of our afternoon show listeners chimed in, and you were kind enough to give us your location on the text. Maybe it's just the morning show crew that doesn't love handing out there. Maybe it's a George thing. I don't know. This is Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, along with you. Wedley from Bridalwood texted in. I mentioned Kelly from Chaparral. Mike and Killarney texted in. See, this is the thing. This is the Mike thing. Mike from Killarney texted in, and then Mike from Canmore texted in. And Mike from Canmore said, who says it's only people from Calgary that text it? No, you're right, Mike from Canmore texted in. I appreciate it. And see, Mike and Killarney said, guaranteed bird talk with Pat shortly. Yeah. If you've missed it, and our wonderful board ops and producers today, Taylor and Cameron, were curious about that. It was a couple of days ago we were talking about, it was game day at the Saddle Dome against the Penguins. We were talking about Pat used to have a bird problem on his apartment deck.
Is it a pigeon problem?
It was a pigeon problem.
I've heard about this.
Yes. And it's irked him for quite a lot of years, and I believe when we were talking about this before the Flames and the Penguins game, Pat was talking about throwing out the pigeon eggs, and a bunch of people texted in. We're like, oh, did you make an omelet with it? And we were thoroughly disgusted by the idea of a pigeon omelet.
I remember getting a lot of different reactions about the treatment of those eggs. There were some wilding opinions on those.
Yeah. Not good. I'm not going to eat a pigeon. Yeah, I'm not going to eat a pigeon anything, let alone a pigeon omelet.
I mean, I think this time around, people were very in tune with Pat on this and saying that he should get rid of them.
Oh, they're a menace bird, like 100%. There's no room, but there was like one or two texts there that were curious if Pat disposed of the bird eggs properly. And Pat wasn't here for that. Pat said he looked it up on the internet. He said that they should be destroyed. They're a menace. I don't know if a menace bird is the right word.
Menace to society.
Yeah, something like that. Certainly a menace to his deck. So he got rid of them. It was like PETA texting in, making sure that Pat disposed the pigeon eggs properly. Get out of here. Yeah, if that's not a better way to promo Flames Talk coming up at 4 o'clock, I don't know what is. Maybe Pat and Wes will talk about pigeon. Yeah, see, Ethan from Granum, no. Pigeon omelet, stop that. We're not doing that again. Not having it.
My question here is, did we ever figure out how to properly dispose of pigeon eggs? You know, in case all of us have this problem at some point?
I don't know. I'll have to ask Pat there, because you're right. He said he disposed of them, but I don't know what that means. I jokingly said he threw them at city buses. Pat obviously didn't do that. Pat's a good, well, he's an okay guy. I don't know what he did with the eggs, Taylor. He did say that he disposed of him, but in what way, shape, or form, that's not clear yet. So we'll find out about that later on.
I'm going to assume it was the omelet.
The omelet. The pigeon omelet. That's what we're coming here for on Sportsnet 960. Tell us what you would like to put in your pigeon omelet, 960-960. Please don't actually do that. That really makes me sick to my stomach thinking about it. That's enough of that. I just realized I kept him on hold for most of that conversation. I can't really think of a better way to bring Matt Rose onto the program. Hey, Matty, how are you? Hello, Matthew.
Yeah, thanks for waking me up from that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Sorry, I was on mute because I was just pacing around my kitchen after I woke up from my nap there. Yeah, that was quite a thing. Pigeons, eh? Right on.
Yeah, you know, you remember Steinberg used to talk about the pigeons on his deck all the time, his balcony or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, someone was giving him the business on the text line earlier on the week about, you know, did he get rid of the eggs properly and, like, put them in a nest somewhere? And
yeah,
he told him.
I got it. Yeah. I was on hold for the.
You want me to tell it again?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Would you eat a pigeon omelet, Matt?
I'm going to hang up on you.
Oh, okay. No, sorry. Yeah, okay. Matty Rose is with us from Russick and Rose, the big show in the morning. We're going to chat some Stampeders football with Matty here. Interesting day of media after the walkthrough today, hey? That interaction with Bo was quite the thing. I played it a little bit earlier in the show when we talked about it with the text line. That sure felt like a guy that was not quite in the same, I don't want to say it was in the same vein as Cody Fajardo, but that's as real as I've heard Bo be about the situation since it sort of happened.
Exactly, and he's been very mature about, you know, Jake Mayer kind of taking the reins of this team over the course of the season. Like he's mentioned that he doesn't have to be happy, he doesn't have to like the decision, but as a good teammate, he understands what's happening and he's going to be around for it. Listen, I think that there's going to be a moment in this game that fans are going to get their chance to let Bo know what he's meant to them over the last decade. In his time as a member of the Stampeders, you know, the one quote in there was, you know, it's the last home game, something along the lines of, you know, last home game, but not the last time that I'll play on this field, which really sounds like, you know, he is closing the book on this chapter with the Stampeders at this point. And we'll see what happens in the offseason as far as where he does end up. You know, there's always a shortage of good quarterbacks in the CFL, so I'm sure he'll be able to find a job somewhere else. But, yeah, it's a strange kind of time here because, listen, this is a team that hopefully, if they get what they want, is going to play three more playoff games. They'll be together for another month. And you don't really want to be taking up all of the kind of headlines and that type of stuff with the bully by Mitchell here in this game, especially when it's a non-consequential game. You know, Dave has said ad nauseum that he's not going to promise the Bo gets into the game. They're going to see how the flow of the game is and if they can work it in there. But yeah, it does sound like tomorrow it's going to be that last home game of the regular season for the Stampeders. Last home game of the season for the Stampeders, and perhaps the last home game for Bo Levi Mitchell as a member of the Stampeders.
Where do you come out on that? Because that's what I was curious when I asked the text line earlier was, do you feel like Bo needs a home send-off on Saturday? Or are you okay with if he does come back next year and is a member of the Riders or the Argos or whoever it is, that's an appropriate time? Like, do you think it's necessary for him, given what he's meant to the team, to have something in the works for him on Saturday?
It just, it's strange if you do, because there's always things that could happen and change things, right? Like, you don't want to commit one way hard to this if, you know, nothing is done yet. So I kind of go back and forth on this. I feel like there's going to be some moment, a hoorah moment, as Jameer and, and Bo talked about earlier today during the scrum, but I'm not entirely sure if it's going to be branded as blatantly as we think. It'll probably be when he eventually does make his return here with another group.
Okay, so that's the Bo Levi scenario. We got depth charts and position charts for tomorrow's game, and to no one's surprise, we're seeing a lot of different faces in different spots ahead of a game that doesn't have any bearing on the standings whatsoever. Matt, what did you make of the lineup changes that we're seeing? Anything stick out to you on a long list there for Dave Dickinson and company?
Yeah, 10 changes for Dave Dickinson as they get ready for the regular season finale here. There's some good news here for sure as far as guys that are coming off the 6-game injured list are going to be able to play this entire game and see how quickly they can get up to speed and get ready for a playoff game in D.C. the following weekend. Kamar Jordan, the slot back receiver, is definitely one of them. Titus Wall, another one, the Sam linebacker. Those two in particular are guys that I'm going to be keeping an eye on to see how they are over the course of the game. Another is Natrell Jamerson, who's going to be playing the field corner position. All three of those guys are coming off the 6-game injured list. You know, it was interesting. I did ask Dave Dickinson today if any of the players that he put on one game, if he's worried if they'll be able to return for the rest of the season. And it didn't sound like anything kind of imminent with any of the guys that they've put on the one game injured list. They're resting a handful of guys. You think of Sean Lemon, who's tied his career high in sacks. You know, he's trying to continue to garner some notice for some big time awards after he was nominated for Defensive Player of the Year. And you think of Kadeem Carey, who leads the league with 1,088 rushing yards. It's only about 38 more than James Butler out in BC. He's not going to be playing in this game. So Dave Dickinson talked about that as well. Some tough conversations with a couple of guys, but they understand the overall goal here and are going to continue to work towards it. So that's the one thing that we'll be watching with that is those guys coming back, some of the rest for some of the players. Mike Rowe's another guy that not on the roster on the one game injured list, but a really important part on the interior of that defensive line that I understand why he's getting the game off here. And we'll see what the game script looks like for the Riders and the Stamps, because I could see a situation where, you know, some of these starters like Amoxie, Jamerson, even some of the defensive ends maybe get a little bit of a rest as the game goes on.
What's been the messaging from the head coach and from the players heading into this week, Matt? Because I imagine this is, I don't want to say it's worst case scenario, but it can't be ideal for this team heading into a game this week that doesn't mean anything for 2 weeks from now, right? It doesn't change mm-hmm. anything against BC. They're going to BC. All of that's decided. So I'm curious from your point of view, talking to the guys and hearing from the coaches, what's kind of been the message about what this week is all about for the Stampeders?
Well, the message has been that this week is all about detail-oriented, making sure you're kind of dotting your I's and crossing your T's and making sure that just the little things that you've worked on all the year to make sure that they all work, that they're still clicking for you. Above all, and I don't think anybody's going to say it, but above all, the objective is this game to stay as healthy as possible, just given, you know, that you're going to the playoffs in the next round. And you think of guys like, you know, Cam Judge, Jameer Thurman, even Jake Mayer at quarterback. And you say, listen, these guys, whatever happens on Saturday happens, but they need to be ready to go the weekend after, the Sunday after, when you're going to BC to play the Lions. So it is an interesting balance. There is a couple of, I know, personal things that guys are chasing, but like I mentioned, Kadeem Carey and Sean Lemon, the nominees for Most Outstanding Player and Most Outstanding Defensive Player, both going to rest for this game. So that's going to be another interesting little wrinkle. The biggest thing here is staying healthy and getting ready for BC. But the other kind of side of the coin there, Logan, is that there's really no games in the CFL that mean anything this weekend with the standings. We know all of the matchups that we're going to see in the postseason, whether you're the Lions, the Alouettes, the Blue Bombers, the Argos, or the other team in the East that's making the playoffs that I have not mentioned. then you're going to be you got to be ready to go. And this week doesn't necessarily have an impact on how your season is going to change.
Speaking of the Lions, I'm interested to know from your perspective how much, if anything, you'll put into what you see from Nathan Rourke tonight. He'll get the start for the Lions. He's coming back from that Lisfranc injury, and I think obviously his presence and his health will go a long way to determining what BC brings to the table next week in BC. This is one of the curious ones, but as you said there, it is going to be kind of tough to evaluate because, again, it's not like Nathan Rourke is going to be going out there trying to win the game and throw for 500 yards. It's really just more him testing it at game speed against somebody that's not a practice jersey.
Yeah, exactly. I think that they said they're going to try and give him a quarter and see how that goes. I'm intrigued to see because, frankly, all of the video that I see from whoever's putting it out on Twitter or whatever it may be, he looks like he's, being cautious, being a bit ginger, perhaps, and that makes sense. Like this Lisfranc, it's a bone in the top of your foot. It's a weight-bearing bone, and it's obviously quite important if it's been working. If you're trying to plant, throw the ball, run away from humongous defensive linemen, like that's pretty important. So I'm very intrigued to kind of see how he goes out, if there are any kind of lingering effects, even in that one quarter, although I do feel like they're going to be trying to show almost as little as possible while also trying to give him as many reps as possible, if that makes sense. I'm going to read into it a little bit. I'm going to pay attention to it for sure, but I don't know if there's a whole lot of change that is going to happen for the Stampeders. Like at this point, if Nathan Rourke's in, Nathan Rourke is in. If it's Vernon Adams, it's Vernon Adams. You got to go to BC and you got to win a game. That's the bottom line.
There's really not much to dissect about Saturday where I'm not going to go deep into matchup details or anything like that with you. Instead, I'll kind of throw it back to one of your Stamps reports earlier on in the week that went through the CFL's, or I guess Calgary's award finalist for the year and kind of dive into some of those. I think the big conversation right now, Matt, is around Sean Lemon and his bid for perhaps winning most outstanding defensive player at 34 years old. Let's start with that one there. I'm curious how you see that. You've watched Sean all season long. I think it's been remarkable. I think he's got as strong a case as anybody across the league to win that award. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, he deserves to be in the conversation without a doubt. Like, you look at the counting stats, this is a guy who not only has racked up counting stats, 5 forced fumbles, 14 sacks, that ties a career high and has him right at the top of the league. When you look at those numbers, this is a guy that played in 17 games at the age of 34 as well. It's the most games he's played since he was a nominee for Defensive Player of the Year as a member of the Argos back in 2016. And he's only played 18 games once in his career, a couple years prior when he was with the Stampeders, another outstanding year where he racked up 13 sacks. I think Lemon's got a chance at this for sure. It would be great to see. I had him and then Jameer Thurman on my ballot as well. So very deserving. He's had an amazing year. I would have been intrigued to see him try and set a new career high in this final game, but obviously they are going to sit him down for this one and give him a little bit of rest. But you know what? The stats are impressive. For me, the other thing is that he's been available. And this is a team that, I looked at the beginning of the year and you look at the defensive ends and liked a lot of the pieces, but at the same time said they got to stay healthy. Fuller and Remolade and Sean Lemon really come to mind in that vein, and both have stayed healthy for very much a large portion of the season. So that's the most impressive thing to me. He's been able to kind of come in, change how he prepared for the offseason. You know, we asked him, and Brent Monson called him every week to check in on how the fitness and the workouts were going in the offseason, and that really helped motivate him to be his kind of best physical self coming into the season. And it's paid huge dividends. I don't think this is a guy that's ready to hang him up either. Like, he's been very effective in the pass game, in the run-stopping game, and I think that he's still got a few seasons left.
I loved your chat earlier on the week and would highly recommend anybody going back into the Sportsnet Today podcast where the Stamps reports originate to listen in on your conversations that you had with Peyton Logan, one in the beginning of training camp and then the one that you had for him after he was announced as the most outstanding rookie nominee for the Calgary Stampeders. How cool was that from your perspective to see it come full circle for Peyton? And, I mean, this guy's turned into a weapon that I don't think anybody had penciled in before the season started. And now I look at it and think, man, has he ever formed a tandem there with Kadeem Carey? He's dangerous on special teams, and he's just such an asset now for the Calgary Stampeders.
I would say that they have a really impressive trio at running back as well. Peyton Logan, Kadeem Carey, and then Dedrick Mills. It's just kind of hard to run with three American running backs on your roster. Peyton Logan really been an excellent special teamer too, so there's that. But yeah, this is a team that's had to make some tough decisions at backup running back and starting running back over the course of the season. I love the conversation with Peyton Logan. The energy that he brings to the table is so bubbly. He's, you know, 23-year-old guy just kind of finding his way into professional football. You can tell how much he loves the sport. Like, that first chat that I had with him, it's way back from, I think, May 30th of this year. And like, I was prepared for the interview, but you can tell that just, like, the bubbly and the charisma, like, it almost kind of took me aback and left me in a tizzy, and I've obviously thought about it for the rest of the year, him talking about, you know, I love the city, I want to bring my family here, all that type of stuff. After being here for, like, what, one exhibition game and a couple weeks of rookie camp, like, I just loved that attitude of someone who really does love our town. So that was great to see, and to see it come full circle to him, for him to, you know, get an opportunity to help this team and really flourish with it. Like, there were times that, you know, he was struggling with the kickoff returns. They were hitting the turf. He was usually jumping on them. They weren't leading to turnovers, but there were a little bit of scrambling moments from time to time. As years gone on, he's shown that he can help out as a returner. He can help out as the running back, just with the ability to kind of be patient, find a hole, and accelerate forward. He's been really fun to watch, and this is a great honor for him. And I'm excited to see what happens with him as he continues his CFL career.
Anybody else on that awards finalist list that you thought deserved a bit of shout-out? I know Cam Judge was up for Canadian. We've talked a bit about Kadeem Carey. He's up for MOP. Yeah. Derek Dennis, outstanding lineman, and the regular seeing Rene Paradis as the special teams player.
Yeah, stunning Rene Paradis up there as a special teams player. The guy scored 200 points, coming up on scoring 200 points on the season by himself, which is a pretty high number. He's having a great season. He's probably going to get my vote for the Western Special Teams All-Star as well, just the year he's put together, just being incredibly efficient for this team. He leads the league in 50-yard field goals made as well with five. He's only missed one PAT. He's been dynamite all year long. Cam Judge, very suitable, most outstanding Canadian. Some other guys that I thought would have been in that conversation would have been really only the offensive linemen, but they have their own award. And then Derek Wiggin, the defensive tackle for the Stampeders, definitely would have been in that conversation too. For me, the most outstanding offensive lineman, would love to see Derek Dennis get the nod. Really felt like this award could have probably gone to anybody on the offensive line. Dennis did miss some time. Sean McEwen missed some time. Julian Good-Jones missed some time. Really, just the guards, Ryan Sevier and Zach Williams, were the most games played on that offensive line, and they were great. Like, you look at this team that's leading the league in most rushing yard categories. They're leading the league in sacks allowed. They're right at the top of the list there. This is a group that doesn't really have counting stats individually per se, which is strange when you're giving out an individual award. You know, 20% of the guys on the roster don't show up on a box score, but at the end of the day, there might be some of the most important players on the field. So that one was good. I love the recognition for the veteran Derek Dennis, but really thought that Stampeders had just an outstanding offensive line this year, and that nod could have gone to anybody on that line.
Matty, always appreciate the time, pal. Take it easy. Enjoy your weekend. We'll chat with you next week as we get set for the Stamps and the Lions in the West semifinal, pal.
See you, Pigeons.
Thanks, Matt. There you go, Matty Rose. One half of Russick and Rose, the big show in the morning here on Sportsnet 960, Monday to Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., or wherever you get your podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, et cetera, et cetera. Thanks to Maddie for joining us there. Stampeders and Rough Riders go Saturday to finish off a triple header of CFL action with a 6 p.m. kickoff fan appreciation night down at McMahon Stadium. As far as sporting events tonight, busy night across the NHL, some Pacific Division matchups to watch for. The Ducks, awful start to the year, 1-5-1. They're taking on the Golden Knights coming up in just a couple moments. They'll drop the puck on that one. Later tonight, the Canucks, who finally have a win, and they've acquired another defenseman today, Ethan Bear, now a member of the Canucks organization in a trade from Carolina. They'll take on the Penguins at 8 o'clock puck drops, Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 1. And that's coming up a little bit later if you want to watch some hockey. Also, World Series gets underway on Sportsnet. You got the Phillies. You've got the Houston Astros. Game 1 from Houston goes tonight. And some WHL hockey on your radios this evening. Brad Curl on the call. He's up the road in Edmonton. Hitman and Oil Kings. That one goes at 7 o'clock. That'll follow Flames Talk, because that's next. Wes Gilbertson and Pat Steinberg have you for the next 2 hours here on Sportsnet 960. Flames Talk is next. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Cam and Taylor for all their great work today. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We will chat with you again on Monday. This has been Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.